know, I was really praying about this and seeking the Lord, and I just love when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. I just love that, you know. And in fact, He enjoys speaking to His children. Amen. So I don't know what God sounds like. I never heard Him. You've heard Him. You just didn't know it. Okay? It's not going to be like somebody with a big megaphone saying, "Hey, turn left down there. Do this. Take this job." But there's a leadings of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's go ahead and pray and we'll open up. Father, today we thank You so much. We ask You right now, Lord, for divine utterance. Fill me today, Lord, with wisdom to communicate effectively, Lord, to Your people today. Thank You for hungry, receptive, open hearts today, Father. We just thank You, Lord, for an impartation from heaven above today that we're coming up in a measure we've never known before. We press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things which lie behind, reaching forth unto that which lies before us, as Your word says, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody asked Jesse Duplantis one time what was the major key to his success, because he had a pretty bad past, you know. And he said this, he says, "Don't have a past." Amen. You know, your past could be 5 minutes ago. It could be this morning. It could be last week. It could be 10 years ago. It could be 15 years ago. But the Apostle Paul said, he said, there's one thing, he said in Philippians. He said, in other words, this is the biggest thing. He said, there's one thing that I will do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forth to those things that are before. Amen. And, you know, the worse your past is, too, the more you have to practice that. Amen? But regardless, whether you made a mistake after you've been Spirit-filled, born again, I'm telling you, forget what lies behind. You can't change that. Reach forward to those things and reach for that prize which is in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? Praise God. You know, again, we recognize today, we prayed for all the fathers, and, you know, one of the things that resounded in my spirit is the fact that who created fathers to begin with? Our Heavenly Father. It was His idea. It was His intention, okay? And today we just want to honor our Heavenly Father by talking about Him today, amen? Now, it's interesting because in the Scriptures, in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, that Israel never knew God as Father. They only knew Him as God, Jehovah, okay? They didn't have a concept or an understanding of the Father image. They were terrified of Him, okay? And Jesus, when He came on the scene, and you remember John the Baptist, you know, think about that. John was a Baptist and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. It's another thought for another day. He goes, "There's coming one after me. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Amen. So if you're a Baptist in the true sense of the word, you're going to follow on to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. But Jesus came to introduce the Father concept to us, you know. In fact, in John 14, I want to show you something here. And verse 8, this out of the King James Version right here. Philip saith unto him, that's the Lord, "Show us the Father and it'll sufficeth us," or we would say satisfy us. So Philip got curious one day and he said, "Lord, show us the Father, you know, show me." But Jesus responded to that question in verse 9. He says, "Jesus saith unto him, haven't I been with you so long a time with you that yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." Now we know that the Bible talks about the doctrine of the Trinity. There's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. So we don't want to be confused when Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And there are people that have actually built doctrines along this and say, Jesus is the Father, and the Father is Jesus. No, these are two separate beings. What Jesus is saying right here, when you've seen me in action, that's exactly what the Father would do. When Jesus spoke, he only spoke what he heard the Father say. Now that's interesting, isn't it? When Jesus performed miracles, he only did it because he saw the Father do it. So you have to ask yourself, when you endeavor to step forward in life in any situation, and you check your spirit and you listen to your heart. This is all part of spiritual growth, isn't it?
Yes.
There's no one here that's totally full grown yet spiritually. No one, including myself. Okay? But we're developing. We're growing. And we're on a course to recognize, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. And so Jesus said, I'm only going to do what I see the Father do. I'm only going to say what I hear the Father say. And the rest of it, I just let it alone. I let it alone. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking. It just came to my mind. When Jesus went into the temple and overthrew the money changers and drove out those that sold and so forth, turned the tables over. And the Bible says he fashioned himself a whip. Now, we, in our minds, we see a picture of Jesus sitting with the children, talking and blessing them and stuff. But you never saw a painting yet of Jesus sitting there making a whip. What was he doing? He was fashioning a whip. What was he going to do with that whip? Drive them out of the temple. Because they were there for the wrong motive. They were there for the wrong reason. Are you with me? But here's what's interesting about that whole situation is that Jesus was in the temple the days prior to that, but he didn't do anything. He was just looking. He was observing. He was walking around. He was looking. But the Father said, don't do anything yet.
Yeah.
So what? He didn't do anything yet. Right?
Right?
But that day came, and the Father said, all right, now's the time. Don't you know that upset those Pharisees and Sadducees? And that's why they were sad, you see. You know. I know, that's a bad joke. You know. I borrowed that from somebody else. So. But these religious people today were so upset at him. But let me ask you something. Was Jesus love personified?
Yes.
Did he ever walk out of love?
No.
No. So what he did was an act of love. What did he do? He cleansed the temple. And he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you've made it a den of thieves, all right? But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that Jesus was in the temple, but he didn't do anything until the proper time. And then the Father said, okay, go for it, all right? He was in the will of God. He was in the plan of God. Oh, don't you know that made those religious people so upset? Oh, man. You talk about stirring up a bee's hive? My goodness. But Jesus said to Philip, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip was like, Lord, just show us, what's the Father like? And Jesus is saying, in essence, look, everything I've said, done, and performed before you is exactly what the Father would do. So Jesus came to introduce us to the Heavenly Father. Now, we talked about the fathers that are here today, and there's, you know, billions of fathers that have been on the earth all these years. And let me just say this, that as good as any father could possibly be, is pale in comparison to how excellent our Heavenly Father is. Okay? There's every earthly father, there are flaws, some more than others. Okay? But we have a perfect Heavenly Father. You know, I heard this story many, many years ago from David Wilkerson. You know, if you've ever watched the movie or read the book, The Cross and the Switchblade, anybody ever? This is a book that came out many, many years ago. And, you know, he went to New York City. We're talking back in the late 50s, early 60s. And that movie impacted my life as a young believer so much. Our church that I was attending at the time showed that movie, The Cross. Anybody ever see that movie before? That movie impacted me as a young Christian. I thought, my goodness, the fearlessness that he had to face those gangs and minister to those gangs in New York City back in the day. It was, I mean, you literally risked your life to go there. And one of the things that he said in trying to minister to, for example, the prostitutes that were in New York City, was that he said it was so difficult and challenging to be able to minister to them because they couldn't grasp or comprehend the idea of a good Heavenly Father, because most of those girls were abused by their earthly fathers. And he said it just ripped his heart out, man, trying to minister to those girls because they just couldn't understand the concept of a loving Heavenly Father because they never had an earthly father that was like that. But he said that there were a few that he's able to get through with. And once they got connected to Jesus, then the Father was able to manifest himself to those girls who became, a lot of them became evangelists of the Word of God. And so no matter how many deficiencies that you and I have had in our upbringing, no matter how rough it's been, we can't continue blaming our deficiencies for our parents. Okay? But what we have to do is we have to look to the Father. Look to Him as a perfect Heavenly Father who understands your heart all the time. He's always there for you. Always. People can come and go in your life, but He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. Are you with me? And it's good to remind yourself of that. Praise God. Now go over to John chapter 8. You're already there in 14, but go back to John chapter 8. And I want to show you something right here. And we'll pick up in verse 37, John 8, 37, down through verse 44. Jesus, again, was talking to the Jews and the Pharisees, and they were always trying to trap him. It occurred to me one day, Jesus is walking in a cornfield with his disciples. And you would think it was just him and the 12, but here's the Pharisees tagging along. They're watching. I mean, like the Pavarazzi. I mean, they're just there. You know what I'm saying? And one of the disciples picked out an ear of corn and snapped it open, took a bite of it, you know. And the Pharisee says, gotcha. You're eating something on the Sabbath day. Remember that? I mean, would you like to have someone like that following you around all the time? I caught you. I gotcha. You know? I mean, the Pharisees, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they're the ones that caught the woman in the act of adultery. Are you with me? And they brought the woman to Jesus. Now, last time I checked, it takes two people to commit adultery. Are you with me now? Where was the guy? He probably had some good Nikes on or something, you know. Back in the 60s, they had streakers. Remember that? Graduation events or something. Look out. Here they come. Are you with me now? But here's the thing. You remember the situation. They caught her in the very... So, first of all, they use the phrase peeping Tom. No offense if your name's Tom. I'm sure you understand. But they're setting themselves up to look and then grab her and bring her and throw her at the feet of Jesus. They had no mercy. Remember how Jesus responded to that. He said the law. They said the law of Moses says they shall be stoned. They thought they had him trapped. See, the enemy was always trying to put Jesus in a corner, trap him. But you know, the wisdom of God is greater than any trap the enemy could put against you. And when Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground, I believe, now it doesn't say he wrote something there. He just says he, you know, doodled in the ground, you know. I believe he was listening. What was he listening for? The Father's voice. Okay? Let me just say this. Don't ever be under pressure to answer someone's pressured question. Someone comes at you and they say, you just say, I'll get back to you. Okay. You don't have to be in a hurry. You don't have to be pressured. Now, let me just say this. You don't have to be pressured to give everybody an answer. There are some things I know. There's some things I don't know. And I'm not going to pretend. If somebody asks me a question, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that question, but I know who does. Okay? So we don't have to be in a pressurized situation to literally answer every single person. Okay? But we point to the one who does have all the answers. Okay? Well, they brought that woman to Jesus, you know, trying to trap him, you know, and they thought, we have him. This is the law of Moses right here. Of course, Jesus responded by saying this. He said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. You know, I found out this week that actually in the Greek, it actually means this. It means he that is without this sin, let him cast the first stone. These are all the religious people. They had rocks in their hands. And the Bible says from the eldest to the youngest, thump, 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 thump. They dropped the rocks and they went away. And Jesus said, where are thine accusers? Remember that? And she said, Lord, there are none. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Notice this. He said, go and sin no more. Man. Wow. Don't you know her life changed that day? See, with the religious mindset of that day, and even that same Pharisee spirit's around to this day, you know, people try to trap people and stuff like that, you know, that you get by the letter of the law, okay? But they're not looking at themselves. They're looking at other people, pointing the finger. Someone said when you point a finger, you got three or four of them pointing right back at you. Amen? But see, what was this? This was Jesus representing the Father. You with me? Okay, John 8:37. He said this, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you shall seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. He's talking to the Jews. He says, I speak that which I've seen with my Father. Notice that. And you do that which you have seen with your father. Now I'll explain that as we read on here. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. And 40 says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard from God. This did not Abraham. All right, 41 says, and the deeds of your father, they said unto him, we be not born of fornication, for we have one father, even God. Verse 42, and Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Now here's the clincher in verse 44. Remember he's talking about who's your father? Verse 44, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Whoa. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. All right? Now, boy, I tell you, that just cuts right through the chase, as they say. You know, Jesus said, hey, which father are you? You know, now here's the reality of all this, is that in the earth today, there's billions of people in the earth today. There's only, we're talking spiritual here, but there's only, you know, you either have one father or the other father. Either God is your father or Satan is your spiritual father. Wait a minute, Brother Keith. You mean to tell me I didn't use a Ouija board? I didn't worship the devil and everything? Well, see, here's the thing. Because of Adam's sin, all of us fell prey to, we're contaminated through that disease called sin. And spiritually speaking, at some point in our lives, we died spiritually. Jesus said the whole world lies in darkness. How many remember the days when you were in darkness? You know what I'm talking about? I remember those days, all right? And I remember when I got saved. But when you receive Christ, now here's the thing. People don't know this. They're ignorant of the fact that Satan is their spiritual father. Now, they might be religious people, go to church, do good deeds. You know, we're not talking devil worshipers and, you know, this demonic sign. I mean, that's a more dramatic sign of people willingly, openly worshiping Satan. But most people that are on the earth do it ignorantly. They don't even know. They don't even know. But because of Adam's sin and transgression, Satan was our spiritual father, but when we got saved and we came into the kingdom of God, Jesus introduced the heavenly father to us, and then God became our father. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's why Jesus told the religious leaders, I mean, he just got right in their face. He said, you're of your father, the devil. Now, you know, that did not make their day. They didn't respond back and said, thanks, I needed that. They didn't respond back in joy and gladness and say, well, you know what? You're probably right. You know, what did they do? Their pride rose up and said, how dare you say this to me? But was Jesus speaking the truth? Yes, he was speaking the truth. Now, let's go over to Matthew chapter 6 here out of the New Living Translation. And we're going to talk about, in the time left that we have here, about our Heavenly Father. Okay? So if you're in the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ is your Lord, and all that means is saying yes to Jesus, you have come out the kingdom of darkness. The Bible says you've come out, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, and you've been put in, translated into the kingdom of light. Colossians says we've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, spiritual darkness, and we've come into the light. And see, that's why religion is so dangerous, because religion tries to work its way to God through their salvation. They try to earn it through good deeds and works and so forth. But the Bible is very clear about that all of our own righteousness is like filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do to make ourselves right in God's sight. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's why you can't save yourself. You cannot save yourself. But you can accept the one who paid the price for you. Who was that? Jesus. Jesus Christ came and died on that cross, buried, rose from the dead. Who did he do it for? Himself? No. He did it for you and for me. That's the story of grace, unmerited favor, that Jesus paid the price for you and for me. That's what makes the good news good news. It's like, I didn't do anything to deserve this. You know what I'm saying? It's just, there's no boasting. Where is the boasting? There is none. It's on what Paul even said, if any man boast, let him boast in what the Lord has done. It's okay to boast about Jesus. Talk about him. Talk about his goodness. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Mark was referring there before that song about lifting him out of the miry clay. Amen? What we're giving God the glory for doing that. Are you with me? And we've all been in some kind of clay, miry clay. Quicksand, whatever you want to call it. Amen? All right, let's go to Matthew 6 and verse 19. So remember, Jesus said this. He said, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. You know, you can practice that. So, see, here's the thing. A lot of people put Jesus in a class by himself. Now, don't get me wrong. There's only one Savior. There's only one Jesus. But see, the dangerous thing about that is people make statements like, well, that's Jesus. He can say that. He hears from God, you know. But they forget about the fact that Jesus is showing you and I how to operate in the earth. When Jesus did those things, when Jesus rebuked storms, he never said, folks, listen, don't try this at home. You know, like some commercials will say, do not try this at home. You get some stunt person on there that does something. Do not try this at home. Jesus never stood up and says, don't try to do this. This is only for deity. Are y'all with me now? Jesus was showing you and I how to operate. And we can have a hearing ear and a seeing eye to hear and to see what's the Spirit of God telling us, because the Holy Ghost, think about it, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will not speak on his own initiative. He said, but he will speak only what he hears the Father say. So the Holy Spirit is in full submission to the Father, and when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, that's what the Father is telling the Holy Spirit to say to you. That's why you can say, I heard from heaven. Because the Holy Ghost will never say anything apart from what God says. Jesus never said anything apart from what God, the Father, says. They're all one in purpose. They're three individuals, but they're one in purpose. Okay? And that's why you and I can listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to his wisdom and to hear what he has to say. I've been amazed at times in my life when it's such a humbling thing when you stop and think about that God would actually speak to you. You know what I'm saying? To think just for a minute that the Father God will take time to talk to you and me is an amazing thing. He's not so busy running the universe that he doesn't have time to talk to little old me. No, he wants to speak to you of his undivided attention. You know, anybody here ever been talking to somebody in a conversation and they're looking right, they're looking left? And you're like, you know what I'm saying? I was talking to a guy one time, you know, and he definitely had something wrong with his eyes, and one eye was pointing this way, the other eye was pointing up this way, and I'm like, which eye do I look in here, you know? Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? And when you're talking to the Lord, when you're talking to God, he's not like, excuse me, all right, number 3,405, you know, you have his undivided attention. And you can hear from, say, I can hear from God.
I can hear from God.
I can hear from heaven.
I can hear from heaven.
Every day.
Every day.
Praise God.
Praise God.
All right, I had you turn to Matthew 6, didn't I? Verse 19 in the New Living, I'm going to read this here. It says, Jesus said this, do not store up, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths and eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves do break in and steal. But he says, store a treasure in heaven that where moth nor rust can destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your desires of your heart be also. Now, this is not saying here, I want to make this clear, Jesus is not saying don't have a savings account. He is not saying that. Because the Bible says he would bless your storehouses. Okay, that's your savings account, your bank account. That is not what Jesus is saying. But what he is saying here, he said, don't put all of your trust in your savings. That's what he's saying here. Don't put all of your trust in your stocks and bonds or whatever. You know what I'm trying to say? There's nothing wrong with doing that. But he's saying, don't be like the world that puts 100% of their trust in that system where moth and rust doth corrupt. Are you with me? And then verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Verse 22, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body, and your eye is good. Your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light of you think you have actually is darkness, how deep is that darkness? Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Now, let me say this in verse 24. You cannot serve God and money. Jesus is not saying here, give everything you have away. He's not saying that. But he says you cannot serve God and money at the same time. Now, what does that mean? We are only to serve God and let money serve us. Money's a servant. And it does take money to operate in this life, doesn't it? Yes. It takes money to have your house and pay your bills. And it takes money as a church and everything else. It takes money to do that. But the purpose of it is to serve us. We are not to serve it. Now, how do you know the difference? Because when a person serves money, they ask the money, what should I do? Instead of asking God. All right? God has told me to do things at times that I don't have the money for it in the natural. Amen?
Amen?
But I'm not looking to my bank account. I'm not looking. When the Lord asks you to do something, he's not checking your bank account first to make sure you have good credit. Okay? Listen, whether you got good credit or bad credit, God is your credit.
Amen.
Okay? There has been a person here that hasn't made mistakes before financially and stuff like that, you know what I mean? And gotten themselves into some kind of a trouble or something like that, you know, and got behind on something, you know. And I mean, that system is ruthless. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is if you ask the dollar, what should I do? You'll never obey God. But if you obey God, he will provide the money for you. Because you're not seeking the money, you're seeking after God. So Jesus is saying here, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know, our treasure is in heaven. Praise God. All right. Okay, verse 25. Now, this is where it gets really good here. It says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Okay. He says, don't worry. Don't be anxious. And Jesus said this. Look at the birds. Say that.
Look at the birds.
Now that doesn't sound like a deep theological thing. Look at the birdies, children. Praise God. I got to tell you something here. I know they know where I'm going with this, you know. But, you know, we got these little, yeah, there you go. We got these little these apps for our phone, you know, and they're bird calls. I've been having a great time with this, man. I'm telling you, my spare time, I'm out in the back porch. They're so tired of hearing it. I said, please turn the bird calls off. I don't know if it's a guy thing or what, but what's amazing to me is I'll play a cardinal and then five cardinals show up. They're like, where are you? All kind of birds, man, show up on my doorstep. I'm not kidding you.
We haven't seen one bird.
But Jesus said, consider the birds, okay? I developed, in the last month, I've developed a new appreciation for that. Because if you, we take for granted, we'll walk outside, we'll hear, it's almost like an unconscious thing. The birds are singing all the time. You walk outside. Do you know how boring it would be, like that dead noise with no birds at all? But they're singing all the time, okay? You don't, we don't even stop to think. It's so, we're so used to it, you know? But not that long ago, I was out, and I was listening. I was in tune, and I was trying to call certain birds in, you know, and I'm thinking, I didn't go off the deep end now, okay? Understand, okay? There's the bird pastor down there, you know what I'm saying? But I had a conversation with the Lord, and I said, Lord, this is really cool. I said, I really like this. And he said, son, I put them there for your enjoyment.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. And I was reminded of what Jesus said, consider the birds of the field. You know, they don't toil, they don't labor, they don't work, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He says, when you look at the birds, it will remind you of God's provision. He says, he went on to say, you know, if God so, you know, cares about the birds, how much more does he care about you and me? Matter of fact, the Bible even says he knows when one sparrow falls to the ground. He knows about it. Without his consent, not one sparrow falls to the ground without his consent. Knowledge of that, okay? We're talking birds here, worthless birds, basically, we would say. But see, God is so intimate that if he cares about Tweety birds, then he cares about you and me. So every time I see a bird or hear a bird, what does it do? It brings me right back to the scripture. Oh, if God cares about the birds, he cares about me.
Amen.
Now that might seem very fundamental, my dear. It might seem very fundamental, but after all, faith is fundamental. I don't need some deep theological thing to happen to convince me that God will take care of me. All I got to do is look at some birds. That's all I got to do. And what does that do? That points me right back to the Father. He cares for the birds. I've never once seen a bird plucking his feathers out, worried about where his next meal is going to come from. Up in this part of the country, in the middle of the winter, the cardinals stay up here. They don't go south. They're bold, man. They're just, you know, they're not chicken like the other birds. They have to go south, you know. Just kidding. But I've never seen one in the middle of the winter out there, like, fretting and pulling his feathers out, worried about where his next meal's going. He's out there singing in the morning when it's 20 below zero or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Just having a good old time. Why? Because that bird has confidence he's going to find some food today. Guess who provided that food? The Father. Amen? If God cares for birds, he cares for you. Okay? So, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to drink, enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds, verse 26. They don't plant or harvest or store in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? The heavenly Father. Are you, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? The answer to that question, yes. You, folks, no matter what you're going through right now, you are more value than birds. I say that to say this, that if God feeds the birds, he will take care of you. I don't care if you lost your job last week or something happened. God is your provider. Always look to the Lord. You know, think about it. If God is your provider, you'll never put pressure on other people. When it really comes down to it. When God is your father, he's going to take care of you. That means you don't have to connive and manipulate and, you know, work the conversation around to other people. I've been around this long enough where I've seen people say, I'm believing God for thus and such, you know, and they know that person has something, you know, and they're trying to drop hints, you know, and out of people's mercy sometimes they end up giving them that thing, and it wasn't that they were believing God, they just dropped a bunch of hints. I've watched this happen. I've seen it happen. And it's not right. It's not right. What it really comes down to is a fear that God's not going to take care of a person, you know? So I have to give God some help. Lord, you need a little bit of help today. Yeah. All right, now look at verse 28. It says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their own clothing. Yet Solomon, in all of his glory, was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Now, Solomon was one rich dude.
Amen.
The scripture tells us that he made silver as common as stones. Like, you know, gravel, in other words. You say, that's a gravel driveway. Well, Solomon, silver driveway.
Yeah,
literal silver. He was the richest person that ever lived, ever.
Right.
Solomon, David's son.
Yeah.
Now, later in his life, he messed up and turned his heart away from God. But initially, Jesus said he was the wisest person that ever existed. The Queen of Sheba came from the south to hear his wisdom. How many people do you know that are that smart? The people are coming from other countries just to sit at your feet and hear what you have to say. He was filled with the wisdom of God. And not only that, God made him so rich and so wealthy. God did that. And he had the finest clothing you could ever imagine. All right? In today's, they said, I saw something actually that he was a multi billionaire in today's standards. Think about that. He made Warren Buffett look poverty stricken. That's right. But who made him that way? God made him that way. But Jesus said this. He said, Solomon in all his glory, his clothing, his shirt probably cost more than someone's entire property. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, if in all of Solomon's glory, he said, yet who clothed the flowers? God did. He said, that's what he said right there. Amen. Verse 28, why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the flowers of the field and how they grow. They don't work at trying to make their clothing. God makes them that way. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Wow. So first of all, he's talking about being fed. In other words, your physical sustenance being fed. He said, look at the birds. Secondly, what you wear. Okay? Now listen, God is not opposed to you having not only clothing, but good clothing. Are you with me? Because if God gives it to you, look out, baby. I remember years ago, I'll share this situation I had with Lynn. We were assistant pastors in a church in Killeen, Texas. And long story short, you know, we were pretty much living on barely get along street. And man, we didn't have enough money to make it almost through the end of the month, let alone money to buy clothing and stuff like that, you know. And I'm telling you, our clothes were getting frayed, and we only had a couple of pieces of clothing actually to wear to church that we were in, you know, and you just wear it and you wear it and you wear it. It starts to wear out, you know. So we began to talk to the Lord about this, you know. When you're first starting out, that's where it almost seems impossible. But there was Lynn had needed some clothing. She needed some stuff, you know, and there was a lady in the church that we barely knew, and she went and bought a bunch of really nice, expensive clothes, you know. And, I mean, really nice stuff, beautiful, you know, expensive clothing, you know, and dresses and skirts and all this kind of stuff, you know. Now she had, the Lord had talked to her and said, those are not yours, those are Pastor Lynn's. That, give them to her, you know. Now she pulled a big joke on me because I came home one day from work. And I walked into my bedroom and laying across the entire bed were all these outfits. And she goes, honey, how do you like the outfits I got today? She goes, it wasn't too much. The credit card was just sufficient, you know. I'm thinking, are you serious? I started to sweat for a minute. And then she goes, no, just calm down. It's hard. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that here we didn't pay one dime. One dime. Amen? For these clothes, and the Holy Ghost, through the Father, spoke to this girl and says, I want you to give those clothes. You just bought brand new tags still on them and everything. Give them, Pastor Lynn. Okay? And I was reminded of this scripture right here. Okay? Now, I've had several, a couple years later, I had someone do the same thing to me that, you know, years later when I came back to Pennsylvania, some guy did the same thing to me. I mean, just loaded me up with some stuff, you know. And I thought, Jesus, you're so wonderful. You know, I wasn't seeking after the thing. I was seeking after the Father. And if we seek first the kingdom of God, as we were going to read right here, the Father will give you all these things. That's why the enemy tries to get people so busy with natural things that they don't have time for the things of God. No time for seeking God, praying and reading the Word, coming to church. The devil has people deceived, Christian people deceived. They have to keep working to their finger to the bone. Now, I'm not against hard work. We should work hard. We should work smart. But don't you think God's able to get things to you if you're seeking first His kingdom? Amen. He said, do something spiritual and you'll have something physical. Yeah. That's what it's saying right here. Hallelujah. And this jerked the slack out of me, or slacked the jerk out of me when we got to understand this, that I don't have to do this and do that. I can seek first the kingdom of God, and He will provide. So verse 31 says, don't worry about these things, saying, what are we going to eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. You see that in verse 32? These thoughts dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Oh, that's everything right there. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Now, let's just focus on verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And notice He will give you everything else that you need. Don't seek this. Seek Him. When you seek Him, He will give you everything that you need. Amen? Last year, and we're going to, at the end of the month, we're going down for a believers' convention to get fed ourselves, you know, at the end of this month, early July, actually, we give out all year long. And we're going down to partake and get fed and get ministered to, you know. But I'm going to share this little testimony here. Jerry Seville was preaching, and he had this beautiful notebook that I don't know what kind it was, but I looked at it, and I thought, that is the neatest looking notebook. Beautiful ring notebook, you know, when he's preaching out of it, you know. And I asked somebody that knew him, I said, can you ask him what kind of notebook that is? I have no idea what it is, you know. Well, this guy talked to me, found out, he got back to me, he said, it's a Louis Vuitton notebook, you know. Well, I looked it up on the internet, and it was like $800. I'm like, I don't think so. I just let it go, you know. I had no earthly idea that what it was and how much it was. I thought, ain't no notebook worth that, you know? Well, about a month ago, I got a package in the mail. Opened the package, and here is a Louis Vuitton exact, not a replica, a real deal notebook of, I don't have it with me here today. I would have showed you, but that someone decided to bless me with.
Praise
okay?
God.
Now, most people will look at that and say, dear God, what's Pastor doing? Wasting money on buying. I didn't buy it. Are you with me now?
Yeah.
Do you see how people could jump to conclusions and say, oh, I wonder what he's doing with the money. Are you with me now? Okay. First of all, I didn't seek it. I didn't buy it. Someone else bought it and blessed me with it. So Jesus gave me the notebook. So I am not going to feel ashamed at God's blessings. Are you with me? Okay. Now, religious people will look down their nose and say, I should have one of those things. I've been serving God too. Well, see, someone that has a critical attitude will never be blessed. Let's just face the facts. Someone that has a critical mindset and an attitude and trying to trap people, they will never be blessed. That's a Pharisee spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. You don't need to be ashamed when God blesses you. You don't have to hide it in a closet. And I'll step on your toes a little bit further and say this. You don't have to justify what you paid for something. You say, you know, I bought that at the 5 and 10 store, you know, and I only paid so much for it. Because I think sometimes people feel guilty for having something that's nice. You shouldn't feel guilty. You shouldn't have to say, yeah, I got it half off. I had a coupon. I feel it this morning. I'm telling you, you know, the devil's a liar.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you need not be ashamed. You need not be ashamed.
Amen.
We've had two vehicles given to us.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
Given to us. Good vehicles. Paid off vehicles.
Amen.
Debt-free vehicles.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm not going to be ashamed of it. Because the Lord did it. I had no idea that this was even going to happen. I wasn't even believing for it. But it showed up. It showed up. Praise God. Now, I'm not saying that to say, wow, look at Brother Keith, because it's not me. It's not me. He will do that for anybody. And guess what? God ain't done yet either. Okay? Are you with me? Man, I wasn't even planning on talking about this morning, but I'm telling you, people get carnal. They get jealous about things. They get jealous about the blessings of God on someone's life. You need not be that way at all. Because God will surely bless you. You know what I do when someone gets blessed? Someone gets something real nice. They get a nice vehicle or something like that. I jump right in the middle and that say, I said, "Woo, glory. This is awesome. Look at that car. That is awesome." You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to go, Do you understand where my heart is this morning? Because if I exercise a jealous spirit because someone, listen, I want everyone to be so blessed.
Amen.
I'm telling you, that's our hearts. We want you to be so blessed because you know what? God has no favorite children. And what he does for one, he'll do for someone else. Okay? Now, that may be just that person's due season. The Bible says if you sow, it says, don't be weary in well-doing in Galatians chapter 6. For in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. Well, that may be that person's due season. See, God doesn't just bless everybody at the exact same time with everything, okay? Because there's principles of humbling yourself. You see, if my heart's not right, I can't expect God to bless me. Okay? If I'm jealous of other people and I'm envious of other people, then I'm cutting myself off from the blessings of God. I really am. And if I have unforgiveness towards other people, I'm cutting the blessings off, you know? I don't care what someone does to me because I'm not in control of that, but I will control how I respond to that because I am not going to put myself in a position ever, 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 to the best of my ability, to get in unforgiveness. I cannot help what other people do, but I can help how I respond to what they do. Okay? And I choose to walk in forgiveness. I walk in love. Now, that may mean that you don't trust that person. That doesn't mean you open the door back up and let them back in your life, because trust has to be earned. Amen. Trust has to be earned. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But notice it says, verse 33, seek the kingdom of God first, and all these things will be added unto us. And I'll just close here. I'll just quote this. But in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the point being is that you and I can come to the Father through the person of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, in 1 Timothy 2:5, it says this right here, that there is one God and there's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What's a mediator? A go-between, all right? So the go-between, in other words, our access, your access, my access to the Heavenly Father is through the person of Jesus Christ, okay? You and me, all of us together, have access to the Father because of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I remember years ago, someone gave me a little Bible tract, you know, many, many years ago, and I'll never forget it because it was a picture on the front of this tract. And it showed a mountain peak here and a mountain peak here, and there's a big valley between it, you know. And it says, on this side it said, sinful man. And over here it says, holy God. And there's no way to get across that vast valley right there. You know what I'm saying? Look like a Grand Canyon almost, you know. And then you turn the page, it says, then Jesus came and laid his life down. And Jesus was like a bridge from man to God. And so we walk across the bridge. I could get that. I understand that. And that's exactly what Jesus did, is he laid his life down for you and for me. No matter how wretched and how full of sin and corruption we were, Jesus was your mediator. He laid his life down so that you could say, I'm going to the Father. And not have to fall 1,000 feet or so, you know what I mean? Jesus laid his life down so that we could come to him, all right? So today, I want to leave you with this because we're out of time here, that access the Father, access his ministry to you. The Father loves to spend time with his children, you and I. He loves to communicate with you and with me. And if we bring everything to him and we commune with him and talk and fellowship with him, the resources of heaven will be unlocked for you and for me in these last days.
Amen.
And I hear this prophetic word just rising up inside my heart. Do not pay attention to the news media.
Amen.
Do not pay attention to the economy, saith the Lord. For I have never yet governed my system like the world system. My system, saith the Lord, has always been above and beyond the natural corruption of this world. And no matter how dark and how bleak it would look in any given country, as my people put their trust in me, I will continually bless them. So listen today, listen unto me. Get your eyes off the natural, get your eyes off the news media, and put your attention on me, saith the Lord, and I will continue to make you like a watered garden. And there will be a continual flow of my grace and my blessings and my provisions towards those that look to me as their Father. It makes no difference to me, says the Lord, what the world's economy is. It makes no difference to me at all what this natural world is like, for I do not govern, I do not operate in this natural system. So keep your eyes on me and walk before me with all your heart and enjoy that which I've provided for you through my Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, there's much more grace. There's much more for you today. Reach out and receive, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. That's what my Son said. It's my Father's pleasure, Jesus said, to give you the kingdom. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 We receive from you today, Father. Jesus. Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to take one moment here before we dismiss here. You're obviously here today, but I want to give you an opportunity today if you've never done this before. Now, I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and I'm not talking about religion here. I'm talking about a person. Would you lift your hand if you want Jesus to come in your life, forgive you, okay? We all have to come to this place in our life. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is just between you and the Lord. And an act of humility would say, yeah, I need that. Just lift your hand up, please. And I'll pray for everybody together here, all everybody at once. Anybody at all? Thank you, Lord. Say this after me. Jesus,
I believe
you're the Son of God.
Come into my heart.
Wash me in your blood.
Wash me in your blood.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.